DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is Happy KB, your host, and today we're going to venture into some of the most profound and enigmatic psychedelic stone to humanity. And that's right, folks, you guessed it. It is DMT, also referred to as the spirit molecule. So buckle up, because this will be an extraordinary exploration into the very fabric of reality itself. So, what is DMT? Dimethyltryptamine, or DMT for short. It's a naturally occurring psychedelic compound that's found in various plants, animals, and it's even within the human body. So many searchers believe that DMT plays a critical role in the dream state, in near-death experiences, giving it a mysterious connection to altered states of consciousness. They are both otherworldly or deeply personal. So DMT has really been used for a really long time in shamanic practices. It's most notably been used in the form of ayahuasca. Well, ayahuasca is a brew that's traditionally used by the indigenous tribes in Amazon. They use it for healing, spiritual insights, divination. But in its pure form, or in freebase, as they call it, when you vaporize or you smoke it, DMT can propel a person into an intense, fast-acting visionary experience. This experience can last anywhere between 5 to 20 minutes. It just depends. Though, subjectively, it can feel so much longer. I've had some trips where maybe 10 minutes, maybe it was a 10-minute trip, but it didn't feel like 10 minutes. It took forever. I can remember sitting outside in my car waiting for my daughter to get done with theater, and I just happened to have a pen on me, and it was a really good mix, and I remember sitting there, and I hit the pen, and I remember thinking, oh, nothing's happening. I can remember feeling it, and the next thing I know, I remember coming back into my body while I was sitting in the car, and I thought, wow, where the hell did I go? It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. So, what makes DMT stand out from other psychedelics actually is the intensity of the experience. DMT is considered one of the more powerful hallucinogens out there. Users often describe being transported into an alternate dimension. People talk about encountering intelligent entities. We talk about a lot about gaining insights into the natures of existence itself. So, in this episode, or this segment of this episode, we're going to deep dive into these extraordinary experiences. Also, as the implications they have for science, and we're going to talk about spirituality and healing. So, that's what this little segment of this podcast is going to talk about, is DMT. Our platform's called DMT World, and even though we are one of the largest psychedelic platforms out there talking about all sorts of psychedelics, DMT is the one that promoted, this is how we got to where we're at with this platform. It's because of DMT. So I think it only seems right that I do a segment on about DMTs, because there's a lot of people out there that don't know what DMT is. So if you are new to DMT, the experience, or even you're curious about trying it, it's important to know that you're getting what you're getting into. I'm a firm believer in giving people information, as much information as possible before they actually delve into a certain substance, because it's better if you have as much information as possible rather than going in blinded and not knowing and then having a really bad experience and, you know, screwing your psyche up for a while, because that's very possible. It's very, very possible. So DMT experience often begins with, it starts with a onset of like rapid visual patterns and geometric shapes. Really, what I think it's how it starts is, but it starts with what I call the sizzle. As you start hitting the DMT, for me, I start feeling this intense, like, staticky sizzle that starts running across my body, and it starts getting really so much a lot louder. It gets a lot louder. Some say that after this starts, then the visuals come and the geometric patterns, and some say that it feels like they're launched, like a rocket's being launched up and out. That's why they call it blasting. You feel this the sudden powerful lift off that throws you into eternity. it throws you into this entirely different realm, into this in places that are almost undescribable. So and within moments, users report breakthroughs, what they call the veil. You know when you've pierced the veil and gone through the other side. Some people find themselves almost piercing the veil, almost getting there. But those people that do find themselves in an incredibly vivid, often hyperdimensional space. So this is where things really get kind of mind-bending. Some people who take DMT report encounters with seeing intelligent entities or beings. They can range from geometric fractal patterns that feel alive, to some people talk about the machine elves. There have been reports about extraterrestrial entities, even gods, what they depict as a god, gods. There's a common theme of communication where these beings seem to impart wisdom, or they show the traveler something about themselves or reality. Some people talk about, especially the machine elves. I have one friend that used to talk about he would blast and he would meet with this female divine, didn't really know what it was. And when he would come upon her, that he would sit down and all of a sudden, while he's sitting there talking to this divine being, this female divine being, those machine elves would come up to him and like start doing things to his body. Sometimes it would be his legs or his arms. One time he says it was like around his heart area. And then the experience when he came out and came back, that things felt different. Just some really, really interesting things that people have reported when they have had a DMT experience. Let's see. For some, the experience is a euphoric and deeply spiritual, providing a profound sense of interconnectedness. Some people go and come back feeling a lot of gratitude, gratefulness, happy to be alive, happy to be around people that they love. Just like the way that they view the world after they've come out. Others might find it kind of disorienting, very overwhelming. It is important to note that while the experience is intense, DMT is a remarkably short-acting compound. To others, like LSD or psilocybin, you know, LSD can be 10 plus hours. Your psilocybin, your mushroom trips can be, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours, if you're lucky. So this brings me to a key point. Preparation and setting. This is very crucial, and especially when you're dealing with DMT. The experience can be profound. It can leave a lasting impression on the psyche. So it's very important that you create a space, a comfortable space. One is typically because you... there can be bad trips that can happen. And so if you prepare your setting, you prepare yourself, there's a less chance of a uncomfortable or what we would consider a bad trip. Bad trips can challenge your perception of reality in ways that are difficult to comprehend. So if you're tripping in a comfortable, familiar place, more than likely your trip, even if it gets a little skewed in how you're perceiving things, as long as you're somewhere that you feel safe and comfortable, especially when you come back, the integration process is not as intense. And it's easier to segue back into reality once you've come back from a trip. So let's talk about what's happening in the brain when someone takes DMT. DMT is a part of a family of chemicals called tryptamines, which include serotonin. And the serotonin is the neurotransmitter responsible for mood perception and cognition. Because DMT interacts with the brain's serotonin receptors, specifically the 5-HT2A receptor, it can induce intense alterations in perception, mood, even the sensory processing. One of the most fascinating aspects of DMT is its potential role in the natural brain processes. So some of the research hypothesizes that the brain produces DMT during deep states of meditation, dreams, or near-death experiences. That's even speculation that DMT may be released during death, creating near-death experiences. There's even speculation that DMT may be released during death, creating a vivid, hyper-real experience. And people report this during near-death encounters all the time. Okay, so there was a groundbreaking study in the 1990s led by Dr. Rick Strassman. We all know who that is, pretty much, if you're in the DMT world. He's the author of DMT, the Spirit Molecule, which I highly suggest you read if you haven't. In this book, he explores these exact questions. He administers DMT intravenously to human volunteers under clinical conditions, of course, and he recorded their experiences. And what emerged was this consistent report encountering alternate realms, different beings, suggesting that DMT may offer a window into a dimension beyond our everyday reality. We still have a lot to learn about the biological role of DMT, but it does raise compelling questions about the nature of consciousness, about reality, and how psychedelics could influence both science and spirituality. It's an area that we are still studying and trying to understand. This is why I believe that the psychonauts, all of us that are listening and who do participate in these substances, are very important to helping understand this substance. If it not, you know, they're doing it from the clinical point of view, we're doing it from a personal point of view, and I think it all has its place in the psychedelic realm, because it's one thing to do things clinical and see them in that capacity. It's fascinating. The science behind trying to figure it out it's fascinating. But I also think we are just as important, the people that are here doing it on our own, trying to be safe, trying to be careful, but we're also trying to help teach people as well. There's a place for all of us. So it's pretty cool, I think. But again, you should, if you've not read DMT, the Spirit Molecule, go and read it. I think there is a PDF copy in the bookshelf in DMT World if you are looking for it. So that is there. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about DMT? Okay, so beyond its profound capacity to warp perception, to just really make you just trip, DMT holds an immense potential as a tool. This tool can be used, I believe, for healing and for spiritual growth. I have lots of people who, one thing they like to do is microdose. And a lot of it, I have a friend who microdoses when he's trying to stop smoking weed. He likes to microdose because when he gets in that agitated itch THC area, hit off the DMT just kind of resets him back and kind of just sets him. So, you know, little things like that, are beneficial, and then even probably on a bigger capacity. So, you know, many users report transforming experiences, and these experiences have allowed them to heal emotional trauma. Some have faced suppressed fears. Every time you go in, every time you blast, you go in, the trip, whatever the journey is, you always come out with something. Some people say that they receive what they describe as a direct communication from a higher intelligence. Many people have had many different profound experiences in a DMT trip. And I mean, it's, we can't, I don't honestly think we can put any, you know, definite thing on DMT saying it can help with this, it can help with that. We can't. That's not, this substance surpasses any, I don't know, making sense of it, I guess, what it can do. In the indigenous cultures, the ayahuasca ceremonies are conducted by shamans. So often it's referred to as healer or the medicine men. So they're the ones who guide the participants through the ceremonial journeys aimed at the physical, emotional, and also spiritual healing. So an ayahuasca ceremony is not just about tripping. In fact, it's hard for me to even put that word on the experience of an ayahuasca ceremony. Because it's more than that. It's about deep introspection and cleansing the soul. A lot of Western seekers who participate in ayahuasca ceremonies return with stories of profound personal insights and rebirths and the healing of deep-seated trauma. We have Keys. Keys is in our community, and she lives in Brazil, and she has a lot of experience with ayahuasca. It is something that is, where she is at, is something she gets to participate in, and it's fun if you get to listen to some of her stories she has about ayahuasca. She has a lot to say about it. So she's a person that I like listening to and like seeing her experiences with it. And she's just kind of a lovely person because she shares so much of herself and love and just her experience with the community, and it's great. So recently the psychedelic renaissance has kind of rekindled the scientific interest in DMT as a potential therapeutic tool. So researchers are exploring it, using it in treating mental health conditions such as PTSD, depression, addiction. There's been all kinds of, they're going to be trying to treat it for all kinds of different things because, again, it's a tryptamine and what it does to the brain, and we know the healing powers of these medicines, so we know it. And so, like I said, the scientific world is starting to become likened to it as well. And, you know, we're dropping some of the shackles and chains off of it in a capacity. But we just need our individual rights to these substances, people. Just remember that, you know, it's fine, whatever. Therapeutics, the medical, the science world, the whatever, they can do whatever they want with it. I just want to make sure I have my individual rights to utilize these substances. Okay, with that being said, there is something about a DMT experience, though, the sense of interconnectedness to everything. The personal revelations you get going through and working through the trip and then working through the integration process. It seems to allow people to kind of break free from an ingrained patterns of suffering. I've seen several people who have set out to change things in their world, in their lives, in their being, to better themselves, to change some habitual habits that they have, and they have utilized DMT to help with that. And some report that it's successful. So I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I can't claim that all this stuff actually works. I just know that these are things that have been reported on. These are things that we have vast amounts of data all over the place, from Facebook to Reddit to DMT World to even to X now, Instagram even, but we have these platforms that have all this information and all these things, and we know there's something happening, that we're all, for the reason we're all doing DMT, so let me think. Oh, here's one. So let's talk about a DMT journey and the intensity of it. There's a lot of people who blast and take these journeys, and they're kind of left with profound questions about nature of reality. It really sometimes messes with them about what their purpose is. Some people really get tripped up into the deeper workings of the universe. There's some in-depthness that comes to tripping on, I think, especially on DMT, because how quick and how fast, but how far you can go with DMT. Ego death is a real thing. What we call ego death, but when you makes you question everything down to your every molecule of your being, like that's powerful. What happens after a trip is just as important. The integration, the working through the trip itself, and then what you experience after. This is a very, very, very important part of doing psychedelics. And if you don't know that, you do now, because it's integration is very, very important. The integration is the process of taking the insights of the experience from your DMT journey and trying to like ground them into your everyday life. After all, while the visions and messages might be overly worldly or kind of far out there, the goal is to create meaningful change in this world, in you, in whatever. The experience, it's taking the experience and applying it to the everyday world. That's important. Here's a few tips for integration for the DMT experience. Let's see. Number one, what do I have written down here? Oh, reflect and journaling. This is very important. After you've had an experience, all you have to do is take the time, write everything down that you can remember. DMT can be very fleeting, so it might be hard to like remember some of it, but the lessons eventually will kind of reveal themselves slowly over time. So journaling can help you track the subtleties of what you experienced and kind of give it a coherent narrative. When you first come out of a DMT trip and you sit down and you try to write, like, it's going to feel weird. It's not going to make sense. Like I said, you know, put what you can down. You're going to sit and have the moments of reflection. And that is also when you need to pick up the journal and jot the things down that your brain is thinking about, or the things that, the symbols or the signs that come to you during this time. A second thing to do, meditation and mindfulness. Practicing meditation and breath work is very good and can help you reconnect with the deeper insights that you may be trying to figure out that you had on your journey. It's also a way to continue exploring altered states of consciousness in a safe way, in a gradual way. Those people that did Shaboy's breath and meditation workshop, like, that was cool. So we know we are capable of sustaining that state, the altered state of consciousness, even after we have consumed something. So this is important. It helps you to get back into the state of mind and work on some of those things that maybe came to you in your trip. So community support is very, very, very important. This is why we have DMT World. We are a community. We are a community that understands. We are like-minded people, as we all like to say. The group's very important. There's several different groups. Like, we have the Facebook groups, and we have groups on Reddit. We have, you know, all these different groups are very important. But DMT is one of these groups, and it is a very vital community. This is where we share our experiences with everybody, because there are things that happen to us on a trip that doesn't either make sense, or we need help understanding it, or we just need somebody to listen to us. We like to talk to people who've had the same similar journeys. It can be incredibly validating. Important. It's important. Community important. Community in the psychedelic world is important, because some of us don't have people around us that do the same things that we do, or, you know, we can talk to about this stuff. So this is why DMT World is important. So another thing that integration can help with is kind of a therapeutic guidance. If the experience brought up a deep emotional, like a content or a past trauma, working with a trained therapist, especially one who is knowledgeable psychedelics, can be incredibly valuable. Integration therapy is becoming more common, and it does offer a space to explore experience with the support of a professional. Again, if you've listened to some of my past stuff, you know that I'm not the biggest on therapy, but that does not mean that I don't find some value in it. And there are people who do very well with therapy. And so if that is a way that helps you integrate, then by all means, seek it out if you're able to. So, as we wrap this up, it's clear that DMT is more than just a powerful psychedelic. It's a key that potentially unlocks the doors to the deeper mysteries of consciousness, existence, and spirituality. So, whether you're curious about trying DMT or simply intrigued by the stories surrounding it, the important takeaway is that these experiences are as transformative as they are mysterious. So for many, DMT, it serves as a reminder that the universe is far stranger and more intricate than we could ever imagine. So, speaking of community, if you have not been to DMT World, check out the website at www.dmtworld.net. It is a free psychedelic social network. We don't talk just about DMT. We do talk about all kinds of other things too. Just it's a community of people who just happen to enjoy psychedelics and everything that is. But we also talk about real world stuff, real things that we do in the community as human beings, as normal people. So check us out. I will let you know that... that was really fun. I'm playing with some new different techniques with the podcast, trying to like get some just information, just some different stuff going on here. I do in this next segment going to, I have a, what is it called? I have a psychedelic short story that I'm gonna do for you guys, and it's called The Encounter. So I hope you enjoy it. The First Encounter. Lila had always been curious about the unseen realms. Her life felt fragmented, disconnected from any greater purpose. Friends had mentioned DMT in passing, as if it were a whisper of an ancient secret, a key to unlocking the mysteries she yearned to explore. After months of consideration and careful preparation, she found herself seated on a soft cushion in her apartment, candlelight flickering gently against the wall. The ritual was simple. A friend, there to support her, handed her the pipe with a mixture of reverence and caution. Lila took a deep breath, allowing her intentions to flow through her body, to see beyond the understanding, to connect. She inhaled the vapors slowly, deeply, for a moment, and nothing happened. Then the room began to dissolve. The walls around her rippled like liquid, bending and warping into a cascade of vibrant geometric shapes and colors she couldn't name, yet which felt intimately familiar. A deep hum echoed through her entire being, like a chorus from behind the stars. Her body became weightless, and Lila felt herself being drawn upwards through layers of iridescent light. Suddenly, she was in another place. A vast crystalline space, suspended in what seemed like a dimension outside of time. Before her stood an imminent figure of light, radiant, towering with intricacies and geometric patterns swirling in and out of him. It was as though every angle of his form was a living symbol, each line filled with divine intelligence. Metatron, the name whispered in her mind without her lips moving. He emanated pure wisdom, and yet there was a warmth, a familiarity, as if they had already known each other. His form was not static. It shimmered and shifted like a living mandala. Lila felt his presence in every part of her, not just visually, but in her soul, as if he was communicating directly with her spirit. Without words, Metatron opened a doorway into her consciousness. She felt herself expanding, her awareness growing vast and encompassing galaxies and ancient memories. She saw the intricate webs of creation, how everything was connected. Every thought, every action, every being woven into the grand design of the universe. Lila realized that she was not separate from this design, but an essential part of it. Your life is the center of your own mandala, she heard him say, though it wasn't like hearing with her ears. It was as knowing the preeminence of her essence. Remember, you are the bridge between the worlds. Tears streamed down her face, not from sadness, but from an overwhelming sense of love and understanding. She felt herself letting go of all the doubts and fears that had weighed her down for so long. In this space, there was no past, no future, just the infinite now, filled with peace. And just as suddenly as it had begun, the vision started to fade, Metatron's form dissolved into light, and the colors of the crystalline realm swirled away, leaving her drifting gently back into her body. Lila opened her eyes to find her friends beside her, still bathed in the soft glow of the candlelight. She was back in the room, but something fundamentally had shifted within her. She could still feel Metatron's presence, the memory of the sacred geometry etched into her mind. The world around her felt different now, more alive, more interconnected. She smiled softly, knowing that this experience wasn't an ending, but a beginning. The true integration would unfold over time as she carried the wisdom of Metatron's message into her everyday life. Lila knew now she had touched the divine, and that the divine, in turn, was always within her. So yeah, that was the encounter. I really like that short story. It's, I don't know, it's touching. Something about it's just kind of touching. So, by the way, I would like your help, please. If you're listening to this, please like and share it. I'm trying to build up the DMT World YouTube so I can do some other things on it, but it was kind of hard taking over a YouTube that got kind of passed down to me. So I'm working my little tail off. I know I haven't been putting out very many podcasts lately. I just, stuff happens and I can't beat myself up about it because I know you guys aren't beating me up about it. So, you guys are real cool. You listen to it when it comes out. If it doesn't come out for a while, nobody says anything, except gracious things and wonderful stuff about how much they enjoy listening to the podcast. So that's wonderful. Again, like I said, I am going to try and get my shit together and try to get some more interviews scheduled and going. I'd like to talk to some people that I have talked to before. I'd like to find some new people to talk to. How we do this is I do it through my Discord. There's a nice little bot that his name is Craig. And what we do is I have a private Discord channel that that I have set up that is specifically for the Rambling Rabbit. It's where I do the recording at, and we have a bot that comes in there, and whoever I'm doing an interview with, I'll invite them in there with me, and then we just kind of sit there and we chat, and the bot records everything we do, and it's very cool. It's very like laid back. I know people get nervous, but it's once we get going, it's like just like chit-chatting with me. And I really do enjoy talking to people in the community. I like finding out what people are doing. We have some new people that maybe I'd like to contact and say, hey, you want to be on the podcast? So if I reach out to you, I'd like to talk to you and be on my podcast. Also, if you would like to reach out to me and want to be on the podcast, please get a hold of me. You can find me on Discord under Happy KB. I am on DMTWorld.net under Happy KB. You can email me at KB@DMTWorld.net. If you're on Facebook, you can find me that way. Most of you, if you're on Facebook, you already know who I am there. So, I mean, I want people to be on the show and sit and chit-chat and get to know you. So, it's fun. With that being said, again, if you are listening to this, please give this a like and a share, be it at Instagram and X and whatever other platforms that I have us on. I appreciate everybody that interacts with us, and it's great. I enjoy it. For 5 years, this has been a fun long ride, and so many people have come through, and I've met so many different people, and there's going to be many more people that are going to join our community that we're all going to get to know. So it's exciting, and it will always be exciting because I love DMT World. So with that being said, if you love DMT World like I do, get some of our merchandise, sport our logo, sport our shirts. We have a lot of different things, a lot of different designs. We have some designs from different people that are in our merch store. So you can go to spring.com and you can put in DMT World, or you can go to https://dmt-world-2creator-spring.com/. That should take you to our merch store, or you can get on the site. There is a merch group that is public that you can find, and that can get you to the link there too. So check out the merchandise. Everybody needs a DMT World short. Everybody needs a mug, or, you know, something simple. There's all kinds of things in there for everybody. So do check out that for me, and thank you very much. With that being said, this is the part I hate, but it has to be said. DMT World does not run on its own. I do have staff that help take care of and maintenance the site and the Discord, and I don't know what I would do without them. If you want to be a donor, if you really do, if you support DMT World and you like what we're doing and you like being a part of our community and you want to see it continuing, I need to do some updatings, and updates come and updates go, and, you know, we got to pay, something's got to keep the lights on, and we have some wonderful people who have been donating to this site from the day one, and I'm so appreciative of all of you. It kind of leaves me speechless. If you are somebody who would like to donate to DMT World's cause to help keep things running, you can. You can go to patreon.com/DMT World, and you can either become a $5 merchant, or you can do an $8 Psychonaut. Psychonaut gives you access to the pay channels in the DMT World server. It also gives you the ability to open up a group. And if you're a Psychonaut, you also can be a merchant. But yeah, if you want to help us out, you want us to keep the lights on, you can help donate to us. Yeah, I hate asking for money. I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 blah. Let's move on. Let's see. Where am I at? Oh. So the theme of this podcast segment, if you haven't guessed, is DMT. I sat and I was thinking to myself, okay, because I'm, like I said, I'm trying to play around with some different stuff, trying to make it more interesting or keep myself entertained. I'm not sure which, maybe a little bit of both. But I thought, you know, our site is about DMT, it's DMT World. That's just how I got to all this, was because of DMT. Lately, I've had a lot of people reaching out to me lately. I had this one guy, he messaged me on Signal. And we were just kind of chit-chatting about some stuff, and he said, I just want to tell you something. And I said, what? And he said, you're the person who helped the person who I got to experience DMT with for the first time. And he said, it was such a great experience. And I thought, wow, that was a long time ago. I was trying to think of all the people that I have helped instruct to DYI. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's one, because I'm a firm believer that nobody should have to pay for this. If you have the ability to do it, you should. Why? Because going through the process, the extraction process, you are actually injecting your own energy, your vibe, your frequency into this extraction, into this process that happens. And then when it comes out, it's in there. That energy is injected into the extraction process. And the experience to go from getting the materials you need all the way to getting to actually partake of it, like, it's the journey. It's great. And I think everybody who's interested and wants to learn about it should get to. Personally, I'm a big supporter of DMT. I think it's an important part of things. And the fact that we are able to extract it, that we are able to get it, and we are able to utilize it and get to experience what we do on it, I think is amazing, to be honest. But that's just me. So we're gonna have a little chit chat for a minute. I need everybody to understand that the world's a little crazy right now, if you haven't figured that out. I don't know what's going to happen in our election, but whatever it is, just hold on tight, because I think we're about to face some stuff that we've never even fathomed. And take care of your families. Take care of your pets. Take care of you. Be kind. Everybody's going through a rough time. Everybody, we're all feeling it. That's all I want to say. We're all feeling it. We're seeing some atrocious things. We're seeing people act in some strange ways. There's just a lot of strange stuff happening. I heard the hurricanes that we're doing right now. We got this presidential election coming up. Like, people are getting nutso. So just, again, take care of your families, take care of yourself, take care of your animals, and just do the best you can. Don't lose touch with people, okay? If you feel like you're in a bad way or you need to talk to somebody, reach out, okay? It's important. High-stress situations, high-stress times makes people do some crazy stuff. And we just need to make sure we're taking care of each other and we're looking out for each other, because some crazy stuff is happening in our world. That is what I want to say about that. I have a poem for you that I'm going to read, and it does go along with our episode title of DMT. This is called Gateway to Infinity. DMT. The mystic key unlocks the door of eternity. A breath, a blink, and then you're gone. Beyond the veil where time moves on. A burst of light, a cosmic bloom. Colors swirl, dissolve the room. Fractals dance and kaleidoscopes spin, and inner journeys now begin. A pulse of life. A sacred beat, the universe flows beneath your feet. Ancient whispers call your name. You're part of the fire, the cosmic flame. The self dissolves, the eagle fades. You merge with the all, a vast cascade. The walls of mind melt into air, and love is everywhere, everywhere. The beings greet you, wise and kind. They offer gifts to free your mind. angels, jesters, alien friends, guiding you where illusions end. Infinite spirals, the source revealed, a mystery that cannot be sealed. A glimpse of God, a taste of truth, a fountain of ageless, unending youth. And then you return, the trip complete, with trembling hands and hearts that beat. You hold the glow, the sacred spark, and light to guide you through the dark. For now you know, you've seen the sight, that all is one and all is light. In every breath, in every tree, the spirit whispers, remember me. The journey's end is just the start, for DMT expands the heart. It shows you that you're not alone. The stars above are your true home. I hope you have enjoyed this segment. Like I said, it was a little bit different. I'm just trying to play with some different things to do. And this one was kind of fun. I enjoyed going through doing some research with DMT and putting it all together and talking to people about it, because it was fun. I really enjoyed doing the podcast. I'm glad that I don't have anybody breathing down my neck on top of me trying to keep me doing this. The pressure. I'm my worst enemy when it comes to this, because in my brain, everybody's where are they at? Where's the podcast? How come that? I am my worst. I hold myself to such high standards. I have crazy time limits, and I don't know. In my head, I start beating myself up because I didn't get it done, or I haven't done it, and it's nobody is expecting this of you, KB. everybody's excited when it comes out, because they're it's another episode. Oh, she sat down in front of her computer and started talking. Oh, KB's alive. That's great. I know I've been kind of AWOL. I've been kind of just not real active with anything lately. I don't know, just dealing with stuff. You know, you don't know exactly how you feel about stuff. I will tell you, I have started going to the gym regularly. My daughter, she started working out with her boyfriend when he was here before he went to college, and they were consistent. They were going, and they looked good. They were building some muscle, losing some weight. They were looking great. And then he went to college. Well, she kept going to the gym, but she was going by herself because one of her other little friends went back to school. And so it was just her. And I thought, you know, there is no reason why I can't drag my ass to the gym. And, you know, she'll hold me accountable. And I got somebody to do it with. That makes life easier. You know that, right? We all know that. It's easier to do stuff when you've got somebody who can do it with you, because you hold each other accountable. So I jumped at this chance. I went and got a gym membership. And we have to at least go 3 times a week. So we only have to pay $7 a month, which is real easy. 3 times a week is real easy, except when you're in the middle of a play and you work a job and you work a second job and you try to take care of your parents, you're trying to be a caretaker, and you're trying to do some other stuff, and you're trying to maintain your other... But the gym is important, and I really enjoy the gym. Besides, she's a maniac. She makes me do some... She's on it. That's all I have to say. She's one of the best trainers I possibly could ever have, and I don't have to pay her. That's what's really nice. No, it's fun. I'm enjoying the time I get to spend with her, and she learns all the things that we need to do and just shows me how to do it, and then sits there and counts my reps for me. So it's nice. I've enjoyed the workouts, I enjoyed them before, but there's just something different about it this time. Like, you start breaking that sweat, and you realize you walk 30 minutes, and you're like, I'll go 15 minutes more, you know. I just did this rep, and I did more weight than normal. Oh, I probably can do a few more, do a couple more sets, you know, things like that. It's very encouraging. And at my age, what is happening, because I live and take care of my mom and dad, like, I live in this house with my mother and my daughter, and so, like, I'm getting to see, like, my possible future, and I'm looking at my past. Like, looking at my daughter at 19 is like, she does things that I used to do, and it's like, whoa. And then I'm looking at my mom, and I'm just like, oh, shit. If I don't go work out, I'm not going to be able to move either. I'm going to be stuck in a chair. So, like, there's some motivation that happens with that. But it's a little kind of a weird experience what I'm going through right now, because I lived with my parents several times before. When I first moved in here, like, I went through this weird, these weird emotions, these feelings. Like, at one point in time, I'm experiencing anxiety like I was 19. And then there's times when I experienced anxiety like I was in my 20s. And, you know, I lived with them when I was in my 30s. And so, like, going through these emotional, weird mental things was interesting. I don't experience it as much now, because I've been here long enough now. But, yeah, that was a trip. It's kind of a trip living back here, but it's also a trip watching my parents get old. That's a little hard at times. Because when you realize your mom and dad aren't going to be around forever, and it's closer to them not being here than it used to be, and that messes with me. That messes with me a lot. Yeah, they are the tie that got, you know, they're the reason that I got here. And so, like, dealing with the end of their life, I don't know, it messes with you. We found out that my son's biological dad has been moved to hospice. And so we're dealing with that as well. I think my son is having this, is dealing with it because death's kind of freaking him out, I think. And I don't know. You know, the whole realization that how you got here and now that one of those people are not going to be here any longer. Death is kind of strange. And being at the age I am and watching all the people who are older start to pass on makes you stop and reevaluate a whole lot, personally. But that's here nor there. I hope you enjoyed this poem that I read you. Again, like I said, this was a whole theme about DMT. I don't know if all of them will be like that, but, like, you know, you'll never know. You're going to have to tune in and see what I'm talking about, what I'm rambling on about over here in KB's world. Well, friends, Romans, and countrymen, I think I have chatted enough. It's been a good time. I've gotten to be kind of creative, and thank you for allowing me to do that. And I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. With that being said, keep ascending, friends.